a 5,000 square foot office that does 110 knots at 12,000 feet. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Fred Edworthy, who is a vice president with Worldwide Aeros. This company is developing an airship which combines lighter-than-air buoyancy with dynamic lift in the normal airfoil sense to produce some very novel applications in an airship. Fred, thanks very much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
First, let me ask you about the specific aircraft that was portrayed in the press release. Obviously an artist's conception, but what is the goal of the ML-866?
The ML-866 is our first aeroscraft model with very unique capabilities in a large craft. And the long-term goal is the rollout of the first model and subsequent models that would look to the freighting world and cargo world when you get to the 30-40-ton version further down the road.
All right, give us a little history on Worldwide Aeros. You folks were a contractor working on something called Walrus. What was Walrus intended to be?
Walrus was a DARPA program that asked industry to submit proposals for a craft that could, in fact, carry up to 500 tons, carry a 12,000 miles, deliver a unit of action from fort to fight. And the goal of that program was to look at the strategic airlift capability of advancing the strategic airlift capability and seeing what was out there as a phase one concept definition.
Fred, let me ask you, how does that relate to, for example, something like the C-130 Hercules in terms of capacity?
Compared to the Walrus concept, C-130, if you use a round figure of around 50,000-pound payload, you're looking at 10 times the size.
All right, so the Walrus would have been 10 times the capacity of the C-130, roughly.
Correct.
Now, you've chosen to come to the National Business Aviation Association convention in September in Atlanta with an introduction of the ML-866 in a very unusual form. I think it led to some wild imaginings among our staff when we were talking about your press release last week. But in terms of an executive transport or a luxury air yacht or any of these applications, tell us what the ML-866 airship offers over, say, a business jet.
First and foremost, a vertical takeoff and landing application. So it allows you to access many areas that you would not have with any kind of a aircraft. And what it allows us to do is develop this very large cabin area into very unique quarters, be it for your private use or for a business application, which would be a fully integrated office and communication center that you could take with you and, in fact, take your office and staff with you as you went on your business trip.
Now, in the craft as it's envisioned now, what would be the dimensions, just to allow our listeners to kind of close their eyes and picture this space? I think it's about 5,000 square feet. Is that 50 by 100 or 25 by 200, or how is this space laid out and configured?
It's near square, but depending on what the application was and how it might be configured, it gives you an ordinary amount of space with on each side of the cabin with very large viewing windows. And so that application lends itself to it's putting amenities into a craft that, for example, for the luxury tour operator, you could have, in fact, a small shop and your food and beverage operation going along with your craft, a little bit like a boat would be.
All right, you've also talked in the press release about having things like a luxury galley and showers and sleeping quarters, and in effect, you could go on the road and carry your hotel with you. I mean, this is one of those things that really kind of bends your imagination in terms of defining how you work, because if you took your office with you and you also had all the amenities of a luxury hotel, you might not even care how long it took you to get someplace.
Well, that's exactly right, and part of the novelty would be the trip itself. If you can related strongly to a personal yacht, and not have the restriction of the seaport when you get to land, and how you wanted to and to what degree you wanted to make the interior would be up to yourself. Of course, we have weight constraints, as you do in any aviation related product.
Well, and you have some interesting weight restraints, because with that much square footage available, it's over 5,000 square feet in the cabin area, you obviously could fill it up with way more stuff than you could lift. How is that going to affect the missions?
Depending on how you want it to configure it, and it's going to be your endurance and mission endurance versus what you wanted to put into it. So how you want to configure it, and of course, you're not talking about hundreds of people. You're talking probably a maximum of 15 people aboard during a flight.
If one of the reasons people buy business jets is to impress clients, I can immediately see the market advantages of this product.
Yeah, absolutely. This is so unique in the world, and a whole new concept. Being able to have your land yacht with your office and staff with you as you go forward and invite people to meetings. Once you're on the ground, of course, you're not restricted by weight, and the amount of space inside will allow you to host a very large gathering, perhaps up to 60, 70 people.
So instead of going to a distant city to conduct training for your company, for example, and then renting a ballroom at the Marriott, you're talking about actually landing your meeting area at some place that's out in the country, maybe at a winery or out in a rural area or at a small suburban airport, and then just maybe having a rental company bring in some folding chairs and you're set to go.
That's right. You can use your imagination how you want to use it. On the more utilitarian side of things, there is a lot of interest from the mobile hospital, for example, with accessibility into remote areas that are ravaged by floods, earthquakes, that sort of thing, where it's always difficult to access and get medical help in.
Well, or for that matter, any of the number of different kinds of office space that are set up in disaster areas. I think, FEMA comes to mind.
Yeah, that's right. And the government side of things, I believe, will develop once there's market acceptance on the civilian side.
Now, what exactly are you looking for in the market? Your press release makes mention to the fact that you're going to need some help going forward with the development of this, and you're bringing it to NBAA. Are you looking for investors? Are you looking for clients, potential customers, or are you just looking at this as kind of a market survey?
Our primary reason for going to a show such as that is, number one, expose it to a large number of people that are in the business jet category and have companies that are now flying or thinking of flying a large business jets. Primary mission is to find our lead customer that'll come on board with us and help us design the interior to their liking, work with us through the rollout.
Down the road, after the executive air yacht, if you want to call it that, is developed, you guys are looking toward bigger and bigger versions of this thing that can eventually handle 60 tons or more of freight. That seems to be a very interesting application.
There's just a lot of interest in that, and especially for the inaccessible areas, environmentally sensitive areas, whether it's the Arctic through Alaska, and or the Amazon, for example, where there's lots of resources to be exploited, but with environmental concerns and accessibility limiting, the aircraft lends itself very well to that kind of a scenario.
All right, now, airships have been around for a long time, and nobody has done exactly this with them yet, and there have to be some reasons. When we come back from our break, I want to talk a little bit about the technology that you have that's unique that allows this craft to do this. We're talking today with Fred Edworthy, who is a vice president with Worldwide Aeros Corporation. We're talking about the ML-866, which is going to debut at NBAA this year, and we'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, Call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Fred Edworthy, who is a vice president with Worldwide Aeros. The company is set to roll out a product at NBAA this year called the ML-866, and it's a 200-something foot long rigid airship, a personal air yacht, or an executive office in the sky. Fred, thanks for joining us today, and welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
Let me ask you, because I think a lot of people, when they hear these kind of projections go, they kind of glass over and they think of things they've seen in Popular Mechanics on the front cover that never came to pass. But you guys have actually demonstrated the technology by which this craft is available. Tell us what you're doing differently to manage buoyancy from what has been done before.
That's right, Paul. This is the first actual demonstration of buoyancy control in an aircraft, and we call it the COSH, C-O-S-H, Control of Static Heaviness, and it's really the heart of the craft, and this technology is the reason we can feel this aircraft now and feel comfortable going forward in our development. Up till this point, it was always difficult to imagine. There was hybrid aircrafts were purported to be useful, where you have a partially buoyant helium creating static lift, as well as the flying body shape creating dynamic lift. However, you still didn't have your vertical takeoff and landing, which we were after in this craft.
Well, obviously, if you have only part of the lift provided by helium for buoyancy, for static buoyancy, then you'd have to get up some kind of airspeed over the airfoils in order for the dynamic lift to make up the difference and get it off the ground. So how do you do it differently? You're actually compressing and then allowing the expansion of helium to change the weight, the static weight of the aircraft.
That's correct. In simple forms, we're changing the density of helium through lightweight compression system and the lightweight pressure vessel within the craft itself. And that's in a very simple form, but that's really what makes the technology possible now.
I guess to just describe the process in simple terms, when you want to make the aircraft heavier to come down, you run some sort of compressor that compresses the helium into a smaller space, allows outside air to be drawn, I assume, into the vessel, and therefore it increases the density and allows the craft to become heavier than air.
That's right. That's a good science lesson right there. And that's how it's, in simple terms, that's the basis of it, yes.
Now, do you envision encountering any difficulties with having large panoramic viewing windows in a craft that's designed to go to 12,000 feet?
The reason for sub 12,000 feet is the pressurization issue. And the first crafts will be non-pressurized within the cabin. Part of the appeal of this series of the aeroscraft is the panoramic views and flying fairly low and slow to afford everyone a good view of the countryside below.
Well, tell us about the other specifications. I've seen the speed quoted as anywhere from 138 to 155 miles per hour. This is a big piece of material to push through the air at those speeds. Do you have math that actually supports that estimate?
The useful speed and the final analysis, our aim is to be at least a cruise of 110 knots.
Getting there from point A to point B in the least possible amount of time will not be the primary market for this anyway.
That's correct. It won't replace the business jet in the fact that someone wants to get from Los Angeles to Paris in a hurry for a meeting. It's a different role than that, and what we want is input from people. That's part of the reason going to NBAA is to talk to those people that are in the business, as well as people that are owners of these craft now, and garner a lot of thoughts. And as we look for the market niche where this will best fit.
Well, now, you know, if you go to NBAA, one of the questions among tire kickers walking up to the booth is bound to be, that's great. How much will it cost? Do you have an answer to that yet?
How much will it cost? The first one we can say is in the $40 million range.
Now, $40 million sounds like it's in the ballpark of what some companies have spent just getting their first aircraft certified. This looks like it might have some unique certification challenges. I understand you're working with the FAA to try to get that through.
That's right. The FAA has been very supportive of our program in looking at a certification basis for the craft and taking parts from the airplane, rotorcraft, as well as the airship, and combining them into a single certification basis. And that work is ongoing.
Well, if somebody wants to become a professional pilot and fly one of these, what kind of certificate do you envision them needing?
That's going to come out of our meetings with the FAA, what the requirements are going to be, and how we do this crossover. They're having exactly the same discussions right now with the civilian tilt rotors, I believe, in coming up with a basis for pilot and pilot training. So it'll be a process in concert with the FAA for sure.
Give us a timeline. How do you expect the rollout of this to develop? When will we actually see a prototype in the air? And believe me, if it's in the air, we will see it.
Absolutely. Our goal is 28 to 36 months.
We're talking about maybe NBAA 2010 actually having you fly one of these in and have it be your mobile display.
Probably at that time, we'll be looking at a still under experimental as we go through the flight testing process for certification.
Fred, you guys are onto something fascinating, and unlike a lot of the things on the cover of Popular Mechanics, this looks like it really has some science behind it that is achievable with what we know today. We look forward very much to seeing your display at NBAA next month, and thanks very much for taking a few minutes out to talk to our listeners about this.
Well, Paul, thank you, and for any of you that are going to be at the NBAA, please find us at booth number 7359. And we'd be happy to show you our model and discuss further the unique applications of this exciting program.
And you can find more information on the web at www.aeroscraft.com. That's AEROSCRAFT.com. My guest has been Fred Edworthy, who is a vice president with Worldwide Aeros. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.